The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
So let me ask you a question this afternoon. What does Christmas mean to you? What does Christmas mean to you? If Christmas is simply about family getting together and about big meals, about what we've heard and just seen, if it's about gathering with a bunch of people and singing carols, then this Christmas will be kind of a train wreck, won't it? Because a lot of that stuff we can't do. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, and I look forward to getting back to it, don't you? But if that's what Christmas means to you, then it's going to be a train wreck. But what if there was actually more to Christmas, like something else, something deeper? If there was, then possibly, just possibly, this could actually be the best Christmas ever. If there was more to Christmas than just that, it could be the best Christmas ever. That sounds crazy to say this year, but I think it's true. I'm going to suggest to you that though all of that is good, and we love it, and we long for it again, there's something more to Christmas. Now, I'm going to try and summarize for you the heart of Christmas in 5 words. So you can lift up your hand, and if you're left-handed, you can do the left hand, but I'm going to give you 5 words that summarize for me the heart of Christmas, and I think they are the very heart of Christmas. And I hope tomorrow, when you're sitting around somewhere with a friend, or I guess maybe a friend that you can sit around with, be careful what you say anymore, you know? We don't pay your tickets. We just throw stuff out. But if you lifted up your hand and said, you know, the heart of Christmas is, and you could name them all, I'd be really excited. I would feel like somehow I was able to get something across to you today. So here's the 5 words of Christmas that are to me the heart of Christmas. Number one, the word salvation. Salvation. That's at the heart of Christmas. Do you remember when the angel went to Joseph and he said about Mary, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Salvation is the first big word of Christmas. Salvation means rescue. It means deliverance. And it indicates, this text in the Bible indicates that all of us need salvation or we need saving. Now you say, the only thing I need saving from today, it's like COVID. We need to be rescued and saved from that nonsense. And you and I would agree with you that we do. But when the Bible talks about salvation, there's something deeper, worse than COVID. There's a virus out there. And we've all been infected with it. It's not like we might be. We have been, and the virus is called sin. And the thing about this virus is, it's 100% deadly. The Bible says the person that sins dies. It means physical death, but much worse, it means spiritual death. It means to perish without God and without hope. Now, because God so loved the world, that means the people, means you, and you, means me, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be salvation, to be somebody that would not only bring salvation, but be salvation. Jesus' name literally means Jesus is salvation. He's the one that deals with what's called sin, which wrecks our lives and relationships and actually forms this incredible barrier between us and God. And when Jesus died on the cross, he obliterated that barrier by taking our sin on him and paying our debt in full. And he is salvation. When that baby was born in Bethlehem and given the name Jesus, you should never forget that Jesus means salvation. That's the first big word of Christmas. Now, the second word is this. It's the word favor. And it's embedded in the heart of the Christmas story as well. The word favor. I think it's in Luke, it says, glory to God in the highest heaven. Now, this is the message to the shepherds. And on earth, peace to those on whom is, here's the word, favor rests. Favor rests. You know, I checked it out, that word favor. The original word in the Greek is used 136 times in the New Testament, but only 6 times is it translated favor. 130 times, it's translated grace. That's what it means. Favor means grace. Think about that. Like the first word, really, from heaven to earth on the first Christmas was grace. Grace. Grace is God's undeserved mercy, undeserved love, undeserved salvation. Like we didn't deserve this. We deserve to die. We've all fallen short of God's standard. We don't deserve salvation, but God in his great grace, because he loves us, gave his own son to bring salvation. The word favor means grace. It's wonderful to think about that, that that was one of the first words from heaven to earth when Jesus was born. God wanted you to hear the word grace. Jesus is his grace gift to us who bring salvation. Another thing about the word favor, and you could figure this out, but it actually, we get our word favorite from it, favorite from it. Somebody said to me one time, let's go out for dinner. What do you like to eat? Do you like Mexican? I said, I love Mexican. I go to Los Palmeros every time I can when it's open. And they said, well, what about Greek? And I said, you know, I'm into Greece so many times. I'm in love with Greek food. And they said, well, would you do Italian? I said, I love Italian. They said, Chinese? I said, I go to Dragon City every time Ginny's away because she won't go. I love Chinese food. As you can see, I love Chinese food. And I stepped back and looked at that and I thought, you know what? I don't have a favorite. They're all my favorites. Do you know what God says about you? You're not just a number. You're not just a statistic. You're not just one of many. You are my favorite. You are all my favorites. The word favor, it means grace, and it means favorite. You're all my favorites. Now, for everybody that embraces God's salvation, hear this word. This is what God says to you, and you need to take it personally. It's in Isaiah 43, and it says this. You are precious, and you are honored, and I love you. Isn't that cool to hear from God? You're precious, you're honored, and I love you. Whenever you read the Bible, read it like you're being personally addressed by God, and read it present tense. This isn't just what God once said. This is what God still says. You are precious, you are honored, and I love you. It's another way of saying, you're my favorite. Isn't that cool? Salvation, favor, what's the third one? Joy. I mean, this isn't a surprise. Again, the angel comes to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, and they bring this great announcement. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone everywhere around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be that will cause great joy for all the people. Circle the word joy. Great joy. Not just joy. Great joy for all the people. At the heart of Christmas is the word joy. Now, it's a little bit different than happiness. Happiness has more to do with our circumstances and what's going on in our life. Now, these shepherds, they had nothing. They were the outcasts, the outliers of society. They didn't have what other people had, so their circumstances weren't good. But the angel said, you can have joy. Actually, you can have great joy. And your circumstances this Christmas may not be good. It's different. It's weird. And yet, God says you can have joy, great joy, because I can give you joy, God says, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you can have joy. Do you know Christians, this might be a strange thing to say, Christians are the only people on the planet that can grieve and rejoice at the same time. They can grieve and rejoice at the same time. That's why when Christians die, the Bible says we grieve, we're heartbroken, we get that, but not like people that don't have hope. We can grieve and rejoice at the same time because we have hope. Joy comes from the fact that we have hope that nobody can ever take away from us. Nobody. Christmas, you know, even in a normal Christmas, it's a tough time for a lot of people. It really is. I mean, maybe they've gone through a painful divorce or, you know, kids are here or there and families aren't what they ought to be or somebody's lost a job and there's no money. There's an empty chair at the table. Somebody's gone to heaven and they're not with us anymore. And Christmas brings all that back. There's just so much stuff swirling around Christmas. And yet, we can know joy. Even if we have nothing, we can know joy. A man I know He, a number of years ago, he had three little kids, he and his wife. And just before Christmas, they had a car repair bills, and then a washing machine went. And you know, it never rains, but it pours, and something else happened. And they just ran out of money just before Christmas, and he was upset. And he said, one morning I was having my quiet time with God, reading my Bible, and I felt like God said to me, and he just talked like a conversation. I felt like God was saying to me, hey, why don't you just say it? So he said, I just decided to say it. I am mad at you, God. You ever said that to God? You might have been mad at him, but it's nothing to say it, isn't it? He said, and God said, so why are you mad at me? He said, I'm mad at you because we have no money. And God said to him, so what do you need money for? Because if I don't have money, I can't buy presents for my kids for Christmas. So God said, oh, that's interesting. So you're telling me that because you don't have money, you're not able to celebrate the birth of my son, Jesus Christ. Is that what you're telling me? My friend said, well, actually, not now. But he said, I want to buy gifts for my kids. And God just kept pushing and said, so you're gauging your joy or lack of it on money? And he said, you know what? That's right. I just wanted to buy a few gifts. And as soon as he said gifts, another word came into his head, spiritual. And he put it together, spiritual gift. You know what he did that night? I think it was Christmas Eve. Sat down with his wife. This is a true story. Sat down with his wife. They had three kids. They named them all. They thought, what if we, I know it's just a tiny little gift we can give each kid because we don't have money, any money. But what if we gave them all a spiritual gift this Christmas? They thought about one boy, let's give him the gift of leadership. Let's pray for that. And all, you know, something for the other two. And he said, on Christmas morning, they opened the little gifts. Then they said, we would like to give you a spiritual gift. He said, we took each child, laid our hands on them, and prayed for them, and gave them a spiritual gift. Now, his kids are all grown today. Like, he's as ancient as I am. And you know what he said? He said, our kids remember that Christmas more than any other Christmas. See, joy doesn't depend on what you have or don't have. God said that first Christmas, salvation. He said favor, grace, and he said joy. You know what else he did? The fourth word, peace. That was in the message to the shepherds as well from the angel. Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Isn't that cool? Peace. Now, when we say peace and we're thinking about our world, we might think of like a cessation of hostilities, but the word peace in the Bible, it refers to a deep inner rest. A deep inner rest. That's what a lot of people are longing for. They're restless. They're bored. And God says, I can give you peace. Why? Because your relationship with me will be repaired. And all those empty places on the inside that you've been trying to fill with stuff for so long, God says, I'll fill that and give you peace. And he even works to restore relationships that have been blown apart. Peace, he said to the shepherds. Doesn't matter what you're going through this Christmas, you can know a deep inner rest. The fifth word of Christmas is presence. Not Christmas presence, but personal presence. And you know where I get that, don't you? That's Jesus' second name. When the angel said to Joseph, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Think about that. Not just salvation, not just grace, not just peace and joy, but personal presence, God with us. This Christmas is crazy. I mean, we're going to be stuck in our houses, and a lot of the traditions that we've enjoyed, we can't enjoy, and we have all these restrictions placed on us. But you know what? It's not a lot different from the first Christmas. It really isn't. You have a man and a woman with a little baby, and this baby is born. And there's no friends around. There's no grandparents that can come. There's no big meal. There's no eggnog. There's no playing games. There's just Mary, Joseph, and a little baby. But you know what? That night, God came and God was present. And that was enough. They could tangibly feel and see the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ, right in their manger, whatever that was. Maybe this Christmas, that'll have to be enough for us too. But what an amazing thing to think about. Can't have friends, can't have family, can't. But what we can have is the personal presence of Jesus. We can tangibly know that he loves us, cares for us, speaks to us. We can personally thank him and worship him this Christmas. And furthermore, he said, and by the way, I'll give you my presence, but Emmanuel means I'll never, ever leave you or forsake you. That's one of the greatest gifts anybody could ever give you this Christmas. So it's not the Christmas we thought about, but the heart of Christmas is those five words: salvation, favor, joy, peace, and presence. If you got that, there's not a lot more that you need, really. So what we're going to do is I'd just like to take a moment to, let's just in quietness, to reflect, really. And what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to ask yourself, of those five words, what's the one I most need right now? What's the one that most stands out? What's the one that resonates with me the most? If I could ask God for anything, well, those five words, what would it be? Do you need salvation? You know, you're not in a relationship personally with God. You could ask him for that. Jesus said, you know what? He said, whoever calls on my name, I'll save that person. I'll bring them out of darkness into my light. And he also said, and if you come out of darkness into my light, you'll never walk in darkness again. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, I feel so alone this Christmas. Then why don't you ask him to make his personal presence real? Or, you know, I don't have the peace. Ask for peace. Just take a moment to reflect quietly on those five words and ask yourself, what one stands out to me the most? What do I need to most ask God for? And then I'll pray, and then we'll worship again, okay? Let's take a moment to do that. Father, this isn't the Christmas we anticipated. We're not where we thought we would be, and yet I thank you today for the promise of your personal presence with us. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus, and that means salvation. Thank you for grace. Thank you for joy, and thank you for peace. And Father, I pray today, this afternoon, as we reflect on these things, that you'd lift up our hearts that sometimes get dismayed and discouraged. That in a personal way, that you would walk into each one of our homes and make your presence known and felt. I pray in spite of all the things that we've lost, we could be able to rejoice in the things that we still have, and more than anything else, in the hope that you've given to us. So Father, I thank you for that, and I thank you for the opportunity to worship you together tonight. Please accept it from our hearts. We're so grateful you sent your son, in whose name we pray, amen.